Okay, I'm staying put if I can to be with the mic. If not, I'll take it off and walk with me. I have a hard time just standing put. Because there's a lot of new people here, I'm going to give like the first half hour what a synthesis of what I normally talk about, and then I want to talk about my second book instead of the first one. So what we're going to talk about is what is revealed in your name, how much information sits there in your name, because that's what's really fascinating and really important. And to start with is how I came up with this is I've been a meditator since I was 18, and I did transcendental meditation. I want to give credit where credit's due. And so I meditated twice a day, and I've been doing that since I was 18. And so in my seventh year of teaching, which meant when I was 26, turning 27 that year, when I was making the seating charts for the students in my class, I was doing something that my brain does all the time once I get to know the students. And that is, I was saying, don't put Joshua next to Julie because together they'll be clowns, but separated they'll be okay. And I'm not going to put Stephanie in a seat where I can't move her a lot because she's really stubborn, which Steve would be also. And so you're going to put them in one spot because they don't want to have to change and move anymore than they have to. And then I looked at Derek's name and I said, you know, this one's going to need extra attention, and put him up close, you know, where I can really see it a lot. And so I was doing this with the names, and I was literally between the third and the fourth class doing this when it all of a sudden dawned on me, wait a minute, I don't know these guys. This is my list of 150 kids I'll be teaching this year. Now, once you get to know the students, you always take a lot of time with your seating charts because you want to make a safe seating environment, because only when children feel safe in a classroom will they learn. Okay, so it's really important who they sit next to. So at first I felt guilty that here I am making assumptions about people and I don't even know them yet. I haven't even seen them. And then I got rid of that guilt really fast because curiosity took over and I went, I wonder if it's true. So I went back to every single name and I wrote down my impression of that person based on the name and what my brain was giving me. And I put it away for 3 months until winter break. I wanted to get to know the kids for who they were. When I looked at those, I was like, OMG, we're onto something here. Now, I will tell you that I'm a math major, and I have my master's degree, which means my brain is trained very well in patterns. So my brain picked up some kind of a pattern, and the real question was, how do I make what is unconscious conscious? Right? And so I started, because there was a plethora of Davids in my life, I started making columns, a column for David Landis, David Cronick, David Shippig, you know, all my Davids, okay? It seemed like if your name was David, you were my friend, okay? So I made this huge long list, and everything I had noticed about my David friend, and I put it in the column. And then after I did that, I went across and I said, what is common in all of my Davids? Well, that must land in the name David. But then there's these other things that are totally not common. Where does that come from? I only had their names to work with. So it either had to come from the middle name or the last name. And I did the same thing with Susan's and Julie's and any name that there was a plethora of in my life. Then I started going back through old grade books. And what about these students? And I just became obsessive with list making and what did I observed and all of that. And so after a while, I could get what was in the first name versus what was in, you know, each individual name. But it took quite a while for me to discover the conclusions. It took 15 years for me to figure out, with a lot of help, because Spirit would wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go, did you consider this? You know, you might want to be looking at this piece. You know, so I had a lot of hints, and they wouldn't do it for me, except for a very few combinations where I just said, I give up. Tell me. I'm frustrated already. So over the 15 years, I realized that the first name is the essence of who we are. The middle name is where we go when we're under stress. The last name represents our environment. So we have both nature and nurture represented in our names. Now, I have figured out more recently that the reason we go to the middle name under stress is because if you've had a lifetime in the last 100 years, it's represented what you did in that lifetime in your middle name. So that is your reincarnation name. If you don't have a middle name, you took a long time to come back here. And so, of course, if that's what you did for an entire lifetime and that's what you learned, that's where you go when you're under stress, because that's your comfort zone. Okay? So the answers to a lot of concerns and a lot of problems, or how you solve things, is also in your name. Your learning is in your name. What style of learning are you? Kinesthetic? Are you visual? Are you auditory? All of that sits in your name. Okay? And I will give you a lot of those. I'm going to start drawing here in a minute. The environment. So you have your nature, which is your first name, and you have your environment or your nurture, which is your last name. So it's an art to kind of drop the first name into the last name. Okay? So our personality traits and our characteristics, what our challenges are and what our gifts are, is all represented in the name. Then, just like any two people sitting next to each other, if you sit next to somebody you like, you're going to act one way because you're gabbing and you want to get, you know all the latest stuff and everything else. And if you're sitting next to somebody you don't care for, you act differently because you don't talk much, and if you didn't have to deal with them, you'd rather not, and all that other good stuff. Same with letters. So, if you put two letters together, they can change their meanings, or they get an added meaning. And there's what I found was that if there's two or three different letters or combinations of letters, that'll give you the same thing but come from different directions. So let me give you examples. Suppose I want to know, is intelligence important to this person? I'm looking for the letters J, S, or W. Okay? But they come at it from different points of view, and that does not mean that people that don't have those letters are not intelligent. It means that those are the people that are driven by having to find out more information. Okay? So, let's say it's a J. Those people are naturally intuitive and just brilliant. They just pull in information from the universe. And I'm talking about the first letter and the first name. All right? So, if it's a J, people will come up and ask them a question, and they'll give them an answer. And that person might say, wow, how did you know that? And the J is thinking, hello, how did you not? But they don't realize that they already got it, and they're able to pull it. So even if they didn't have it before you asked them the question, they now have it because they're able to pull it, because they're highly intuitive. Okay? They're also scared of their intuition, and one of their challenges is to get comfortable with it. Okay? I'll always remember the day where my son came up to me, and he starts with a J, and he came up to me, and he goes, Mom, I'm really scared. I've just had a horrible experience. And I said, what is it? Now, he was in his late 20s by now. And I said, what is it? What happened? And he said, you know, I've always talked to computers, and they've always talked back to me, ever since I can remember. And for 3 days now, my computers have said nothing. And he was really scared. He said, I just thought all computers talked to everybody, and now they're quiet, and I don't know if I lost this or not. And I said, did you ever think you took a holiday? Give us some time. They'll talk again. Don't get nervous and stressed about it. Just relax. They'll start talking again. You know, maybe you've already learned everything that computer had to say. Hello? You know, but it didn't dawn on him that he was really doing that until it stopped. You know, and then he went into fear. This is so normal. And he still makes his living with computers. Okay, and they still talk to him. Okay, but that's the J. And it's just an intuition, and they're brilliant. How their minds think and how they pull in information and what they can spat out. Your J's are just brilliant. Let me give you another example. His name is JJ. And he doesn't even go by Joseph, right? He does sometimes and cuts it down to Joe sometimes, but he really uses his two initials. So what's he really focusing on? The brilliance combined with the brilliance and the intuition. It's all right there. Okay, so it doesn't... Okay, so that's one aspect of intelligence. Now we go to the S. The S is what I call school smart. And these are the people that can learn anything once it's first presented to them and once it first has a foundation. Okay, so give the S person the foundation. And then once they've got it, though, it's go away, leave them alone. They want to build the rest of the house by themselves. Okay? And you've got to be really careful to notice when they finally get it and need you to leave. Because if not, they start getting irritated. I got it. Like, scoot, scoot, leave me alone. You know? But don't you dare move until I've got it. So you've got to be sensitive to where that transition time is. Okay? Then the W are the people that learn through experiences. They hate making the same mistake twice. Make it once, who cares? I didn't know this before. but make it twice, oh my gosh, they beat themselves up. You don't have to say a word. Because they're always looking at how can I learn through experiences to make them wiser. So I think W is for wisdom. Yes. It's first letter, really, of any name. It's just how you interpret certain names differently. Okay, so the answer is yes. Think about it as the first name at first. Then what I noticed, first of all, I said talked all over about putting two letters together. So S, we said, was school smart. T, I have mnemonic devices for all of them because if not, I'm lazy. That's why I went into math, so I didn't have to memorize anything, and I had to memorize all of this. So I have my own mnemonic devices that I teach and that are in the book, the latest edition of the book. So that you can remember it, it helps your T. So T is for the people that like to be on top, okay, and this is athletically on top or business-wise on top or whatever. These are the people that will not try unless they feel like they can master it and be on top. It's all or nothing. So if you look at people whose names have the T in them, they're either at the top of their field, on the way to the top of their field, or they're in jail and they could care less. You know, I mean, if you look at CEOs, the predominance of names of CEOs are Toms, okay? T's and M's take everything to the extreme. So T's want to be on top. They got the M right there to make them to the extreme. The O is the CEO. Those are the people that like to be the boss, tell other people what to do. And if you look at the name Tom, they're either at the top of the ladder, on the bottom, or they're on their way up because they know they're going to get to the top, okay? So if you put the S next to the T, okay, it actually adds a new dimension, and that's stubbornness, okay? Now, every letter and every combination of letters have both gifts and challenges, and they all have many more than one. I'm giving you a main one, okay, but they all have more than one. So with the ST being stubbornness, the other side, that's the challenge, that's when you're getting in your own way, but there's always two sides to every coin, and the gift side is persistence. Those are the people that don't give up. So you see a lot of people in the medical profession or in the sciences that have an ST simply because they don't give up. You know, they will eventually get where they're going. Now, other things I've noticed over the time is that the first letter in the first name is your first impression of somebody. Now, what did I just tell you S was? School smart, but smart, right? Now, what's your first impression of me? It had to be smart, right? And Susie, it has to be smart. And people tell me all the time, you're smart. And I think, nah, not really. I'm, you know, I get through stuff and I stay with stuff. But it's the first impression. And the first impression of the first letter of your name is the first impression. So, Sean, aren't you glad to know that one? Okay. So the last letter in your first name is the lasting impression you give people, okay? And one of the first things they'll talk about behind your back, okay? So if somebody said, Susie, you spelled with an I-E or a Y? I, just an I, okay. If somebody says, okay, for Susie, what do you know about Susie? Susie can hold other people's attention really well. Okay, it's something that we would say behind her back is she's really good when you listen to her. She's just fascinating to talk with, and she can hold your attention really well. But Susie, with any name with the end of an I, that ends in an I, can hold people's attention well, and they never get tired of being in the spotlight and having attention. Okay, they can do it all the way through. A common letter that the end of a name ends in is the letter A, and the letter A says, I know it's important to be liked, but I'm not going to change who I am to get liked because I've already worked really, really hard at being likable. So if you don't like me, something's wrong with you, not with me. Yes?
Susie is a contraction of Suzanne. A-A-C. So would you use Suzanne and figure out what her name ends in with the full name or Susie?
Great question. The question was asked, do you use the birth name, what was originally there, or the name that they're going by? And you actually use both. Okay? Because whatever's in the birth name says these are the gifts and the talents I came in with, and whatever the current name is or the nickname or whatever they're going by is saying these are the gifts and talents I'm currently focused on. And I may pull in some that I didn't come in ready to be focused on. I may have found that they're helpful to me, so I may put them into my nickname. Or whether Your nickname was given to you by somebody else, because most nicknames are given to us by somebody else. It's those aspects of us that somebody else would like to see. Okay? So, for an example, if the last letter of your first name is a Y, it means that you're a chameleon and you can get along with any group that you want to get along with. Now, the key word here is want. Okay? So you can get along with any group that you want to, but you're also the people pleaser because you need other people's approval. And that's why you're so good at being the chameleon. Okay? Because remember, there's a gift and a challenge with every name. Now, if you look at it, parents give their kids nicknames when they're growing up that end in Y more than any other name. William turns to Billy. Susan turns to Susie. You know, you start looking at it, and more nicknames end in a Y, and were given as a kid, Bob, Robert for Bobby. You know, they all add those Ys. What that means, remember, that means that you're their chameleon, and you can get along with anybody, right? So when a parent gives you your nickname that ends in a Y, they're really saying, you need to bend to my will and get along with me and want to get along with me and want my approval. So if I give you a nickname that ends in a Y, I'm literally saying, you need to make it easier for me to love you. And so we all do that. You had a question?
So is that the same then the other way around? The kids give us nicknames that usually end in a I or with a Y?
Yes. It works. It works both ways. Whether they're giving you the one that ends in a Y or you're giving them the one that ends in a Y. If you go on cruises, for a while I was on a lot of cruises. And so when you go on cruises, what I think is fascinating to notice is that literally 90% of all your people, like your waiters and waitresses, the people that interact with the public the most, their names will either end in an A or a Y. Because they want you to have that good time on a cruise ship, and those are the two names, the two letters at the end of names that are the easiest people to get along with. Okay? Now, another common one for the end of a name is an N. Okay? And when a name ends in an N, it says you're anal retentive to details. Okay? And you can bore people with the minutia, or you can talk about the minutia way much longer than where their interest is. Okay? And that sometimes you have to be careful unless there's something else in your name to counterbalance it, because you can get lost in the details and then you can't see the forest for the trees. Okay? So it's just something that's there, and if it ends in an O-N or there's an O-N in the name someplace, that's another really common combination, that means that you are really good at practical, logical, deductive thinking. And so that will show up that you will have a natural tendency to be very good at math, music, or mechanics. Okay, and that is that O-N combination. Now, I will just tell you that my birth name, Sharon, ends in an O-N. Lynn ends in a double N, and a double N means photographic memory in the area of interest. And my birth last name ended in an O-N. So I look at that, and I think that's why we went to math, now that I understand the system, and it's why I was so detail-oriented on figuring out the whole system, okay? I mean, once I could figure out the system, then when I looked at my own name, I said, well, hello, there it is, okay? So the first vowel of the first name is your communication style, and it's how you relate to other people. It's also how you learn, how you can be upsold, what kind of gifts you like. Okay, there's so much information in just the first vowel. Now, I'm going to go through some of the first vowel for you fairly quickly, like the Reader's Digest version. But first I want to say that as a letter moves through the name, it changes its meanings. Okay, so you have four positions in a name. You have the first letter position, you have the first vowel position, you have the last letter position, and then all the rest are considered middle letters. Okay, and depending on where the letter sits, depends on how you interpret it. Okay, so for an example, suppose I have A at the first vowel position, okay? These are the people that are workaholics, but they can also be the laziest couch potato you've ever seen. So they work and work and work until they drop, okay? And then they would let somebody else go to the bathroom for them if they could, because they don't want to get up once they've dropped, okay? They're done for the day, all right? And what you will see is if there's an A person, and let's say that the glass needs to be filled with water. If they're done for the day, they'll ask somebody else to get the water for them, even though it's right there and they may have to move a little. Okay? It's either work, 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 or I'm not doing anything. It's one extreme or the other. Now, when you hire somebody with a first vowel of an A, you want to see which side of that they play with the most. Do they play with the work side the most, or do they play with the lazy side the most? Okay? And a lot of that's determined by the letters next to it. Now,